Our scripture reading will be coming from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. You may be seated.
Happy Father's Day to you and to all of our fathers out there, and we are thankful that you have chosen to come and worship God on this Lord's Day. And of course, that's always the most important thing, that we keep God as our Father in His proper place and look to God to honor Him each and every day we live. This morning, we're going to have a bit of a different sermon. I've asked Jacob to help me in presenting this lesson on leaving a legacy and thinking about Father's Day and the scriptures might say about that. And I believe that Jacob can represent a younger view. I am representing in some ways, as we think about this topic this morning, leaving a legacy, a father's view. And I've asked him to kind of represent more the child's view, teen view, and from a youth minister's perspective. And so we're looking forward to discussing and talking about these things together. Thinking about our term legacy, I looked that up in a dictionary, and it said a gift by will, especially of money or other personal property, is the first definition. The second definition is something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past, the legacy of the ancient philosophers, for example, or the war left a legacy of pain and suffering. This morning, we're not talking about leaving money or leaving possessions. We're thinking about the pathway that is left. And we're not thinking, when I use that term leaving, I don't want you to think about in terms of death. Yes, that's a part of this. And when a father dies, he leaves behind a legacy. But really what I want us to think this morning is in terms of leaving when they leave our homes and the pathway that they watch us when they're growing up. And even as grandparents, or all any age fathers, and even as a church family, what is the pathway that we're giving? What is our history that we're passing on that years from now people will look back on and they'll think, that's the legacy from my father, from my grandfather, or from the Seven Oaks Church that I had? And so we're going to address some questions this morning and talk about them together. So Jacob, if you don't mind joining me. I want to say, too, it's my first time to hear Jacob preach. And it's y'all's first time to hear Jacob preach.
I don't know if you'll hear me preach. I don't know.
So we're excited about this.
You might not hear me.
I thought I'd just stay up here with you while you're on now.
That's fine.
I'd just stay
now
up here
hear me preach.
While you had your first time to preach. That way, if there's any time I need to jump in, I'm real close.
He had to bring me my Bible earlier. I left it in my office.
All right, so the first question that we're going to be addressing is, what is a legacy? And so both of us have a couple scriptures that we want to refer to. My passage that I want to look at is Joshua 23. And this is the end of the children of Israel having settled the land. And it's come to the end of Joshua's life. And beginning at verse 14, we're not going to be able to read all this in chapter 23. But Joshua is going to say, now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Joshua's about to die. And so he's going to give some legacy, some idea that he wants them to hold on to. And the rest of this chapter, and most all of chapter 24, is him telling them what he wants them to do. And of course, it concludes with verse 14. Now therefore, chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But of course, this great legacy statement, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we're talking about. Legacy is, you make your choices. I can't control all your choices. But as for me and my house, for me and what we're going to do, we're going to serve the Lord. And in Hebrews chapter 11, when it speaks about Abel, it says that though dead, he still speaks. And a legacy is about what you're speaking when you're not there. When the kids go off to college, when they're in there raising their children, you may not be there, but what is left in their mind from you? Jacob, what's a legacy?
I think, talking from a younger person's standpoint, if you'll turn to 1 Kings with me, 1 Kings chapter 2, I think we see here, to me, what describes a good legacy. And this is at the end of David's life. That's how this book starts out. And he's talking to Solomon, his son. And he starts in verse 1, it says, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth," just like he read a second ago, "I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man." Could we turn me down just a little bit? "Prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn." Now, this is where he leaves him his earthly legacy. Verse 4, it says, "That the Lord may fulfill his word, what he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel." So that's a better inheritance than I'm ever going to get from my dad, is the throne of a whole kingdom. But David says to his son, "I'm going to give you this throne. I'm going to give you the throne." And he says, more than that, "I'm going to give you this insurance," not I-N, but E-N, insurance. "I'm going to ensure that if you will do the things that I've taught you, if you will follow the Lord, follow his commandments, follow his statutes, you'll never lack one of your sons on the throne of Israel. Your line will reign forever." And of course, we know that came true in Jesus, of course. We know that Jesus is our ultimate king. But then you can see again in Proverbs, you turn to Proverbs with me, Proverbs 1, starting in verse 8, Solomon followed his advice. The legacy was kept on. He says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." Same in Proverbs 2:1 and 3:1 and 4. He starts every one of these chapters with "my son." So we can see that the legacy of David, of wisdom, of virtue, of living a life that is pleasing to God, was kept on in Solomon. And I think that's really what a legacy comes down to, is instilling in your children, instilling in me as a child, something that is worthwhile for me in eternity.
Amen. And so this thought that we're saying is that a legacy is kind of our earthly word, but I want to put a spiritual term on it. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a spiritual inheritance. A legacy is something that people who do finances, they talk about what legacy you're going to leave your kids, what possessions, all these kind of things. What we're talking about is a spiritual inheritance. What kind of inheritance are you going to give your children? And it's not just after you've gone, but what are they going to have now in life? And what are they going to have when you're living and you're 10, 15 years older than now, 20, 30 years? What are you giving them that they're going to have? So we're thinking about a spiritual inheritance that we want to pass on to the next generation that they can continue to live the faith. All right, the next question is, why care about leaving a legacy? Why should the people that are listening here, why should each of us care? Well, when I thought about that question, my answer as a parent would be, first of all, Paul cared greatly about leaving a legacy and about his converts. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul's going to list off all these difficult and hard things that he endured. He went through beatings and shipwrecks and all this kind of persecution. And he talks about all the dangers that he was in and all the false brethren and the hunger and the thirst. And then in verse 28, he says, "And apart from the other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." In 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 and verse 5, Paul is going to say he could not bear to not hear from them. Paul, when he was away from them, he didn't have a cell phone. He couldn't just pick up. So he worried constantly about them. Now he's going to pray about that. He's going to try to turn it over to God. But he talks about the anxiety he has for them. In 3 John verse 4, there's a great scripture. It says that John says that he has no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in the truth. As a godly parent, I want you to know, young people, that there is great anxiety. And I think in a godly worry, I don't talk about a sinful worry, it might become sinful, but a godly worry over our kids. Amen? Mm-hmm. I mean, parents worry about their kids. They have anxiety. Paul worried about his spiritual children. John worried about his spiritual children. We worry about our children. We care about the legacy. Thus, why care is because we deeply want our children to continue in the faith. We want them to carry on the morals and the values that have meant a lot to us. Jacob, why care?
And I think that continuance is really where it lies for me as a child and as a younger person, as someone who deals with youth. The biggest thing for me of why a legacy is important, why we should want to leave one, is because it gives us a sense of direction for our lives, okay? So when we're raised, when you raise us, parents, when I was raised, my father always told me, now don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. But Proverbs 22, verse 6, has some insight for us, I think. We might be familiar with this verse. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now that's not saying that your child's going to be faithful every day of his life. I'm not going to guarantee you that. But I'm telling you, as someone who's been blessed with being able to grow up in the church, in the faith, if you instill things in them that are good things, not just don't do bad, but do this good, it allows us to see the direction that you want for our life. And in seeing that direction, we will never forget it. We can try and try and try. There have been times in my life when I've wanted to rebel against my dad. I went through those angsty teenager years. We all don't want to look back and see them, but I did. And I will never forget how guilty it made me feel to do that to my father, because he had instilled in me certain principles that I couldn't get rid of no matter what. Train a child up in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. And that probably is the most obvious reason of why we should leave a legacy for our children. Not just because, oh, I want you to do good so I look good. That's mom and dad to the kid. You need to behave so the other people don't think badly about me as a parent. It's that we need to instill in our children a sense of purpose in Christianity, a place in Christianity. Let them grab hold of their faith and make their faith their own, because when a child's faith is their own, that's when they're going to grow the most. That's when what we've instilled in them is going to become their practice. I mean, I believe, as someone who's younger. And if we give them that sense of direction, then we as parents don't have to worry as much. We don't have to worry as much. It makes me think, how many of you have seen Despicable Me? You know what I'm talking about? That first one, and there's the villain named Vector, and he's got direction and magnitude. You know what I'm talking about? You younger families probably know what I'm talking about. That's the kind of purpose we need to give our children. We've got to give them direction and magnitude, something to go behind the direction to send them off where they need to go, so that when I go off to college, when they go off to college, when they go out in the real world, we don't have to worry as parents that they're going to be faithful to their calling from the Lord.
A lot of these thoughts that we're trying to hit around is that a legacy is a pathway. And I think it's a challenge to try to establish that pathway, but that's what we're trying to do, is establish this pathway, this direction, this purpose that the father has, the mother has, that is then instilled in the lives of the children. Next question. We have five questions. What are some of the major components of a spiritual inheritance? What are some of the major components of a legacy? Well, Joshua 24, verse 15, he says, choose you this day whom you'll serve. And of course, that basically gets to their faith. And the major component of a spiritual inheritance, just like a financial inheritance would be money and land and those kind of things, but the major component of a spiritual inheritance is going to revolve around faith and them having, as Jacob was talking about, their own faith. I think a couple, to kind of flesh that out a little bit more, some other things that we would want to instill within our children, that I want to instill within my children as I thought about this personally, is that we want to have a love for family. You want to give in your legacy. You want to leave a legacy that says, I love my family and I care about my family and I want everybody in my family to know that they can be who they are and that I'm going to try to love them and care for them, but I want to leave them to know Christ and there's some accountability there, and that if they're going to live a sinful life, there's going to be consequences, but we want to respect individual personalities and respect the uniqueness in our family. And so there needs to be a love for family and an idea that family is valued and cared for, and that we're going to put an emphasis on making it a priority to stay connected and close to family. Another legacy that I think we'd want to leave is a love for the church. So many times I think we disconnect our faith from the church. And really they are the same concepts. We're talking about, we want to instill within our children a deep love for God's church. In Acts 20, verse 28, it is the church that Christ gave His life for. In Ephesians chapter 5, 23 through 25, Christ is the Savior of the body. And I want a legacy to not just be that they have faith in Christ, but I want it to be a legacy where they love and they're going to serve church. So if they move to Nashville, if they move to Jackson, Tennessee, or if they move to Alaska, or if they move to Calhoun, Kentucky, they're going to get connected with the church and they're going to say, I want to be a servant and care about building up the church. Another part of the legacy, and we could list so many, but I have a couple more quick things, is we want to have core values as our legacy. Things that we talk about, like hard work and love and respect for the elderly, to care about honesty. In a world where there's so much dishonesty, a legacy that we should want to leave is we're people who are honest, and a handshake and a word still means something. And so, and the last thing I think that I would want to leave, or a major component that I wanted to share, is financial responsibility. A legacy doesn't need to be a legacy that we're always destitute and struggling financially. And that may be a part of things, but as a legacy, we want to get to a point as fathers where we have some stability, and we want to be able to pass that on to our children of how you handle money and how you use the blessings that God has given you in a responsible and a wise manner. And we live in a culture that's so greedy, and we live in a culture that is saying you've got to have things to be happy. And the legacy we want to leave is that money is a tool to be used, not to find our pleasure and our joy solely in money. So those are some of the major components that, from a father's perspective, I want to give my children. Jacob?
I think as a child looking up to a parent, one of the biggest components of a legacy is a mindset. Because often, you know, we think to ourselves, we think about a will and testament. You know, you just have to lay that down, and then once you write it out, you don't got to think about it anymore. But a legacy is different than a will, okay? A legacy involves planning. Proverbs 21 verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent leads surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. When we plan out what we intend for our legacy, plan out what we intend for our children, that's when it'll come true. It's not when we just say, do as I say, not as I do. That's one of my biggest pet peeves. I'm probably more passionate about this point than any of the others. Components of legacy is that we have to plan. And more than that, we have to plan. We have got to be about modeling it to our child. The do as I say, not as I do is the worst philosophy a parent can have, in my opinion. I'm not a parent yet, but from a child's perspective, I hated that. That drove me insane. We hear teachers talk about modeling all the time. There's a lot of teachers that attend here. And we hear about a modeling in the classroom. And it's modeling those behaviors that teaches the child best. Children are creatures of mimicking. We imitate. And so if we see you doing good things, we see you putting your importance, the highest priority, on church, it's going to be the same for us. There's this another teacher term we use is called the Bloom's Taxonomy. And some of us who've been out of school for a while, I don't know if y'all are familiar, but I'm fresh in the education department. And I've already learned that kids are real interested in looking at what we do. But the Bloom Taxonomy is a way of higher learning, higher thinking, okay? And it starts out, I got a chart right here. It starts out with remember. So we start at a young age, you know, with songs, remembering things, ABCs, numbers. And then it goes to understanding, applying that, math, science, things like that. It goes to apply, then analyze, then evaluate. And at the very top of this pyramid is create. And I think it's key that as parents looking for children, looking how to guide our children, as children looking up to our parents, we want to get to the point where we can create, where we can develop our own faith and our own way of thinking and our own way of life from what you've taught us. We want to start with remember, and we want to understand why you do what you do. We're going to analyze you. We're going to look at what you're doing, who you're with, who you're talking to, when you're at church, how often it's important to you, and we're going to apply that to our lives so that we can then create our own faith out of that. I think it's really key that we, kids, we need to understand that our parents are going to be the biggest influences in our life. The people we live with are going to influence us the most. Our family backgrounds are going to determine most of the time our family backgrounds when we have a family ourselves. Parents, I beg you, make sure your priorities are straight. Make sure you're modeling correct behavior, because that's what we're looking for. That's probably the biggest component of a legacy to me. Planning is important, yes, but modeling that good behavior.
You know, Jacob, I've heard it said that an apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and I think from a spiritual dimension that it's rare that a child's faith outgrows his parents' faith.
Yeah.
And so the idea that you're saying, I think, is very true, yeah. that the faith patterns, how do we do faith, is established from childhood, and what do we value in faith? And those answers to those questions, do we go to church when we're on vacation? Oftentimes, when you're old, you're going to decide that when you're old. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not exceptions, and that a lot of people don't arise above their parents' faith, or they don't change from their parents' faith. But, as a general rule, lots of times, we've got to consider what kind of faith that we're giving, because my children are either going to stay below that, or maybe not ever reach that point oftentimes. Mm-hmm. And so, you're talking about modeling, which is really good. Number four, what is the role of the father in leaving a legacy? What is the role of a father in leaving a legacy? The Bible places the responsibility squarely on the father's shoulder in Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4. The father's the head of the home. And certainly these things, we're talking about this on Father's Day, but this legacy goes for mom and dad. And so we're talking about it in a broad term, but specifically for the father. Proverbs puts the emphasis on fathers. Now in our culture today, it seems that we often talk about moms more. And if you talk most people's spiritual story, they're going to talk about the faith of mom, right? Faith of mom. What mom did. Mom brought me to church, and mom talked about Jesus. And I remember mom praying with us. She'd come in our bedroom and pray with us at night. Mom. And I, on Mother's Day, we extol the greatness and thankfulness for moms. And fathers, we need to understand that that is a model for us as well, that we need to be appreciative of our fathers and the faith they have shown and the times they've led us in prayer. But we also, as fathers, need to be challenged to not just leave it up to moms, but to also take that responsibility ourselves, to want to give a spiritual inheritance of faith as well. And so I think the fathers are given that role. I think that we need to see this spiritual inheritance. It's like a river or a stream. And there's a lot of history coming down from that stream. And our family has given us a lot of good and a lot of bad. It's all coming down that stream. And right now, we're stepping in that stream. And what we're doing in our time in that stream, both good and bad, and hopefully more good than bad, is going to also influence the rest of the people going. And we might choose to divert that stream a little bit and change it. That's what we're talking about, a pathway. But whatever we do is going to leave a legacy. It's going to leave an influence that the future generations are going to have to deal with. So if we throw a bunch of trash in that stream, a lot of baggage in that stream, future generations are going to have to deal with it. And so we've got to think about that as fathers. Jacob?
This one's a little bit more personal to me. My mother died when I was in high school. And so most of my spiritual heritage is from my father. I learned my behaviors from him. I learned my habits, my spiritual habits from him. And I'm not going to say all the time we were perfect. But I think it's key that we need to see that a father can do this job. My father took up the sword really well. He and my mother divorced when I was 8, and I grew up with him half the time, her half the time. Well, then when she passed away, me and my brother with him all the time. And that was a change for us. We didn't fully understand how to have what we called him a mommy daddy. That's what we called him. And we got him a shirt one Father's Day that even said mommy daddy on it. But that's what he was to us. He was able to bring both those things, thank God, to me and my brother. And so probably the biggest verse that sticks out in my mind is Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Turn with me there, everyone who has their Bible. It says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." A direct command to fathers to do just what Josh was talking about. I remember story time with Mom. She'd bring out the little comic book Bible every single night when I was growing up, and we would go through a story in the Bible. We'd have our prayer. That was Mom. But when I was older, when I was becoming a man, slowly, I needed a man to show me how to live that way, fathers that have sons in here. I needed a man that could show me, that could model that behavior for me of how a man was to live, how he was to develop his own faith. Another verse that just really, really gets me with this is in Psalms, back in Psalms, Psalm 127 and verse 3. And it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Children, fathers, are your heritage. We are your heritage. And I mean, I think of the word heritage. I looked up the definition. And it says, a special individual possession. We are something that is special to you, and we know that. We know you love us. But I think about the Heritage Commons. I go to Freed Harbor University. Heritage Commons. And all that is it's a commons that has bricks that are laid out with people's names of years that have gone on. I think of the Heritage Walk at Alabama. I'll go ahead and get this out of the way. Roll Tide. The Heritage Walk at Alabama. All the national championships are laid down right there and the players who are on those teams. We are what lives after you. When you're dead and gone, guess what? Your memory is going to be kept alive with us. I'm sorry to tell you. Scary as that might seem for some of us. Cody Dawson, where are you at? I'm just kidding. It's just how it is. We want to be you a lot of the times. We want to be our dads. And girls are the same way. We hear about daddy's girls and things like that. But, you know, I don't have kids. Me and Andy joke around. We say we never want to have kids. We just want to have dogs the rest of our life. But I really do. I hope I have kids one day. And I hope that I can model for them this behavior that I want them to have, this heritage after I'm gone. I don't care if they get my house, if they get my money, if they get my car, if they get my dog. I want them to have instilled in them the importance that I'm going to see them again one day in heaven. When my dad dies, I pray to God he lives a life that's been good enough in the Lord's eyes to go to heaven. And that I follow that example to my grave too, and my son and his son and daughter and whoever from then on out. That to me, I think the Bible is repetitively clear about the importance of godly fatherhood in the home.
Very true. Very true. It's the role of our fathers. Now, the last question is, what is our motivation for leaving a legacy? What should be the motivation that we have for leaving a legacy? And the thought there is that I want to leave a legacy, John 10:10, because I want my children to have the abundant life Jesus talked about. That I want them to know the best life possible. And I believe, as John said, that there's no greater joy to hear that your children are walking the truth. And I believe, to kind of paraphrase that idea too, that there's no greater joy than to walk in the truth. And so I want to have joy from them walking the truth, and I want them to have joy by walking in the truth. And so we want them to have that legacy. My motivation, and Jacob has alluded to this, but I think as fathers and mothers, we should want to have a pure motivation. That is, and as a preacher, I can speak personally here, I don't want my kids to just do things and follow Jesus just because I'm a preacher, or just because it would hurt my reputation or my wife's reputation if they did not. Now, I do care about my reputation. I do care about those things. And sometimes there's a cultural pressure there that the world puts on us, and I must admit that pressure is real. But if I'm pure here, because my children will spot a hypocrite faster than anybody. If I'm just trying to make them do it so that we can protect the Ketchum image, then I'm not leaving the spiritual inheritance I need to leave. And then I've got to want to instill them that from a pure motive that I really want them to know and love Jesus because I really know and love Jesus. And if I'm faking that, and if I'm doing it for any other reason, if it's not real to me, my children will spot that out. And I think that's very important. Jacob?
As a child looking at a parent, I think what it comes down to is temporary versus eternal, that, to me. Because children, your children, me to my parents too, I could look at my dad and my mom and know there was something wrong with them. I was in tune with them. I knew them better than probably anyone else did. I was with them all the time. And in that, I was able to find where their priorities were, whether their priorities were on eternal things or on temporary things. Matthew 6 speaks to this. It's Jesus speaking. If you turn there with me. And in Matthew 6, verse 19, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your hearts be also." I read an article on Facebook the other day. It was talking about the frustrations of youth ministry, and it was really funny, and it was jocular and all that. But it was talking about parents placing importance on unimportant things. An example, and I can identify with this, when I grew up, my younger years, I played soccer, tennis, and basketball. My parents paid hundreds, if not thousands of dollars for me to get all that equipment. When I was older, I was in band, choir, drama, I traveled all the time with them, thousands and thousands of dollars. But then CYC came. Oh, well, we can't pay that $200, the church should be covering that. What does that tell our kids? What does that... I know what it told me. I'd much rather you be in travel ball than I would you rather go to a spiritual event with your church. We have got to remember that our children are always watching. We have got to place the importance on things that importance is due. And, you know, we joke about it. We say, oh, well, they're gone this week to a ball game. I'm not saying every week. I'm not hating. I know ball's big up here. I'm from Alabama. People miss Sundays to watch football games sometimes. Can't believe that, but they do. We have got to be about living a life that looks like Christ, that places the priority and the importance on Christ. And when we do that, if we allow that to be our motivation, our real legacy will start then. Legacy starts with priority, at least to a child, I would say. And I think everyone in this front row can sort of agree with that. We can see exactly what path our parents are headed down, and we're going to follow them right down that path, no matter where it leads most of the time.
Well, Jacob, we're about out of time, and we want to have just a summary statement and think about an invitation. Give us kind of just a minute summary of what you've said, and then I will conclude us with an invitation.
There's a quote Yogi Berra said once, "You can see a lot by looking." And that's true, you know, all this Yogi Berraisms. You can see a lot by looking. Well, duh. But what he's saying is people that watch you and watch your habits and look at what you do, they're going to see the intent of your heart. They're going to see exactly where you're coming from. And if your intentions are pure, then praise God. Because if you train a child right in the way he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it. It's in the Bible, folks. I'm not going to dispute it. Children know. They always have known. They always will know. They're malleable. They're like sponges. Everything that goes into them, they just keep on soaking up and soaking up and soaking up. So what I would say is we need to be more focused on placing our children in a position where they can succeed than placing ourselves in a position where we're comfortable. That's the way I'll word it. We need to be more focused on placing our children in a position they can succeed spiritually than placing ourselves in a place where we're spiritually comfortable. Because when we do that, children will live out that legacy. And sometimes, folks, sometimes there's not a father, there's not a mother. Sometimes it's a strange situation living with a grandparent, an aunt, and uncle. I don't know. But as the church, it's just as much our responsibility to lay down that legacy for them. As a youth minister, I beg you to mentor my kids. Please take these kids under your wing. They want your advice. They want your love. They want your friendship. Older members, if you read Titus, I mean, it's just all through it, Titus 2. And you can see it talks about the older men taking a responsibility for the younger men and the older women taking responsibility for the younger women. We need that here. Be mentors to your kids and be mentors to the church.
Great job, Jacob. We appreciate your thoughts, and thanks for working with me today and doing this. And he did a great job for his first time to speak here in this occasion. Let me conclude. I think we've kind of emphasized everything well, but let me conclude with one little caveat that I think we need to say, and that is that a legacy is not a legacy of perfection. That your children learn from the mistakes you make as well as the good things. But here's really what I want to emphasize that. Really, it's the mistakes you overcome and the struggles you have that you turn to God in. And so we, as we think about our legacy, when we struggle, let our children see that we're turning to God. And if we sin, let them see that we have a legacy of repentance. And so don't think that what we're talking about is a legacy of perfection. We're talking about a legacy of faith. This morning, if you're not a child of God, if you want to put Christ on in baptism, if you want to rededicate your life and come back to the Lord, what a great way to end our service is to have a rededication or to have a baptism. If you need to respond, please come as together we stand and as we sing.